The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Wednesday to you. Thank you for tuning in to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I am glad that you are here. The reason I'm glad you're here is because we're taking questions from listeners just like you. In fact, if you've got questions that you'd like Bob or Sean to take a stab at, I hope you'll send them to us. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, let me just read a few of the questions we have today, because it's going to be an interesting discussion. If everyone is a descendant of Noah, then aren't we all Jewish? There's an interesting one. Here's another that we're going to try to cover today. What does chosen really mean? Here's another. What are the Jews chosen for? Interesting. And another one we're going to cover today is, doesn't Acts 13 challenge limited atonement? Well, as you can see, we've got lots to cover. So let's get to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, hey, Bob, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing well.
Doing good. We're about, I don't know when people are going to listen to this, but we're about to have a snowstorm here in Texas tomorrow.
Ice storm.
It's ice storm tonight. And then snow tomorrow. And by snowstorm, if there is anything on the ground at all, people will die, cars will flip over, there'll be huge accidents everywhere.
People will be in great panic. Yeah, I read on my phone it's predicted 4 to 8 inches.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's actually serious. No, I didn't know how much was going to come.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's going to shut down the state, honestly. It will. In Canada, it wouldn't, but, you know.
Right.
But here, because people have summer tires here and they don't know how to drive.
That's the other thing.
It doesn't matter that it's winter. They don't know how to drive. But winter just makes it worse.
I mean, all year round, people know how to drive.
All year round. I've just been taking notice now. I guess I just have a critical spirit of all the people. I'm, like, pleasantly surprised if someone uses their blinker.
Yeah. I know,
I'm
right?
Just pleasantly surprised. I'm like, oh, thank you for letting me know.
But if they don't, you don't expect it anyway.
They just start turning left and right. Just no warning, no rhyme or reason.
That's
if
good.
You don't believe in total depravity, try driving in Texas.
I went to Boston once, though, and you lived there for a while.
Boston is worse.
Boston is bad.
Boston is a
they have
horror.
Like something like 6 lanes across, and people shoot from the 1 lane to the 6th lane.
I don't know if it was because it was under construction when I lived there, but there weren't even lanes. You know, there was the road, and you just kind of made your own lane. There's no lines on the ground. If your tires weren't spinning and creating, like, smoke at the red light, so that you just, as soon as it turned green, they'd honk. It's just all the time.
Yeah.
It was not pleasant to drive around there. It was
wow.
Crazy. But at least in Texas, we have lots of big roads, and we do have lanes. You just don't know if anyone's ever going to turn into a lane or change because they don't signal.
Yeah, and you have to watch out for the pickups with the rifles hanging up above there.
Why?
Well, you just don't want to get shot.
I'm not worried about that. Those are the people. I'm not worried about the people. People in the pickup trucks with the guns, they're the least likely to. Do you know how many people the NRA killed last year?
How many?
None.
They didn't kill anybody?
The NRA's never killed anybody. Anyways, okay.
I think that might have been political. We better...
That's not political. They're not a political group. They're just a gun rights group.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? All right, I have a couple questions here. They should be fairly easy to answer. Here's one from Michael, or Mike. And he says, if everyone except Noah and his family were killed in the flood... And Noah was Jewish, and everyone living today is a descendant of Noah. Doesn't that mean that everyone is Jewish and that we're all God's chosen people? I think this is going to be an easy question to answer.
Well, the answer is Noah wasn't Jewish.
Noah is not Jewish, right? The Jewish people start with Abraham, but not even with Abraham. It's really with his grandson, right?
Abraham's called the Hebrew because he's a wanderer. You know, he's been called by God to be kind of someone who travels from Ur of the Chaldees, and he travels to the Promised Land, but he really doesn't own any property there or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just speaking on Genesis 5, and Genesis 5 goes from Adam to Noah.
Yeah.
You know, Noah lived 950 years. When by the time you get down to Abraham, he's living 175 because there was a great drop-off after the flood. So, no, Noah was not a Jew. Noah was the father of all of mankind after the flood.
Yeah, so God chooses Abraham hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later to be the father of nations, plural, one of which is going to be the Jewish nation through his grandson, Jacob, who's renamed Israel,
right,
whose 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
So hopefully that answers your question, Michael.
But he is right. We're all descended from Noah.
Right. And then he says, what does chosen mean? What are the Jews chosen for?
Well, that's a really good question because a lot of people really don't consider that. What they're chosen for is to be God's nation.
Yeah.
So there will be many nations on the millennial earth and on the new earth, but the one chosen nation from which Messiah will rule, the Messiah King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be Israel. And the name of the city that is going to be the chosen city is the New Jerusalem,
right.
Revelation 21 and 22.
Right. Now, they're not chosen to be born again.
No.
That's what a lot of people might think.
No, of
course. Because not every Israelite was born again.
And not every Jew today is born again.
Right.
But the Jews are still God's chosen people today, even though the nation is not a believing nation.
Right.
And so that's a little tricky, and I always have a bit of ambiguity there because God's promise to bless those who bless Abraham's offspring is still true, but Israel doesn't always act in ways that are the best. They
right.
don't always act obedient to God, obviously, and
You're
the
right.
nation itself is not a believing nation. So we ultimately look toward the future when at the end of the tribulation, Paul says, then all Israel will be saved, meaning the entire nation will be delivered from Gentile oppression. Of course, all the adults will be born again because at the end of the millennium, all surviving Jews who are adults anyway will be believers.
At the end of the tribulation.
I mean, then tribulation. Did I say millennium?
Yeah.
Tribulation.
So this might help you, Mike. I'm not sure. So Israel is chosen, but they're chosen, like as Bob was saying, they have a job to do. They were chosen to be the nation. They're chosen to be the nation of priests. But just because you're chosen for a job doesn't mean you do the job well. You're still chosen for that job, but you might totally fail and then rebel against
right. and
the,
you
the
have
job
a,
you're chosen for.
You have a book called Chosen to Serve.
Right.
And you point out that all through the Bible, choosing relates to service. What I was pointing out is not only is Israel chosen to serve, but they're chosen to serve from a position of power. In other words, they're going to be the world power.
So, yeah, they're going to have this even greater responsibility in the future. But Israel doesn't always do right. They're not even believing in the Messiah. I would put that in terms of they're not doing the job they're chosen for. They're still chosen. They're
right.
just totally dropping the ball
like
in terms
that.
Of their
I like
their
that. And your
job.
Point about whether an individual Jew is a believer or not doesn't change the fact that he's part of the chosen people.
Yeah, they should be. Part of their job is to believe in the Messiah. So if they're not believing the Messiah, they're not doing the job they're chosen for. They're not being the, you know, they're not working for him. But one day, all Israel will.
Yeah,
right?
Now, we probably don't want to call believing a job, but here's the point. You can't serve Christ effectively
right.
unless you're a believer.
Right.
Ultimately, we become one of his servants, Luke 19:11-27, by believing in him.
Yeah.
But yeah, good questions.
All right, here's a question from Thomas. He says, doesn't Acts 13:38-39 challenge limited atonement? And the verse says, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you're not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Why would he think this challenges limited atonement? I guess because this verse says only a believer receives the benefit of the forgiveness of sins and justification. Maybe we need to clarify what unlimited atonement means.
Well, I'm thinking, too, maybe he means something slightly different than what you just suggested. Maybe what he means is because everyone who believes is justified, then that suggests
it's limited.
That everyone can believe and everyone can be justified. Okay. Therefore, the atonement must apply to everybody because this wouldn't be true if, say, for example, okay, you're a Calvinist.
Yeah.
And you argue that everyone who believes indeed is justified, but the only ones who will believe are the elect. right?
Yes, that's that would be called limited atonement.
And those are the only people Christ died for.
Right, because in that view, God purposefully only chose some people to be saved, and so Jesus really only died for them.
However, haven't you heard some Calvinists say that there's true faith and false faith?
Yeah.
And that it's possible to believe in Jesus and yet not be born again because you only have intellectual faith.
Right.
You only believe in some intellectual sense, but you don't have the God-given commitment, obedience, perseverance, all the things that are guaranteed to either be part of or flow from true God-given faith, right?
Right.
So in the Calvinist position, it's really not true that whoever believes in him is justified. I mean, it is,
well,
because
it is.
They define whoever believes in him in such a funny way.
The only people who are going to believe are the people that God gives the gift of faith to.
Well, except they do say that unbelievers do believe intellectually, many. So they're really denying the truth that whoever believes in him has everlasting life, because they're saying, well, true belief is more than just being persuaded that he gives eternal life to the believer. In fact, they don't even believe that.
Yeah.
They think he gives eternal life to the elect.
Right.
But anyway, it's kind of complicated, Thomas.
It does. So we've inherited this language of limited and unlimited atonement, but I question whether we should even use those two terms, because the assumption is the benefits of the atonement come as a package that is either limited or unlimited. And I just don't see that in Scripture. It seems
That's
like,
a good point.
It seems like some benefits are unlimited, and then some other benefits are limited in the sense that you have to meet a condition like believing in order to enjoy them. Who gets eternal life?
Only the one who believes. So that benefit is limited.
Yeah, but who does God love, let's say?
I mean,
that's a benefit. He
John
loves the
3:16.
Whether you believe or not, God loves you.
And he's made everyone savable.
I think we both agree that's an unlimited benefit.
Right. Whatever.
Yeah, so I think we should probably drop the whole limited, unlimited language because...
But the forgiveness of sins is limited. Like, you don't get the forgiveness of sins unless you believe.
Right, right. It's offered to all, but you only enjoy it if you meet the...
And we have an article or two on that, don't we, on our website, so people can check it out.
Yeah, check it out. All right, thank you, Thomas, for that question. And also, Mike, if you have questions that you want to ask us, you know where to send them, radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the definition of repentance. So join us for that.
I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.